First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, October 29th, 2023. I'm Larry Rhodes, or DJ Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host Wombat on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Hey, it's me, the Wombat.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religions, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not. Here in Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of 1,100 of us. We're the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK. I'm going to tell you more about us after the mid-show break, so be sure to stick around. Wombat, what's our topic today?
You know, I was looking over comments from last week's show while we were talking, and there have been some interesting ones. The topic of today's show is God Detector. Something that we had talked about way, way, way back when, maybe about 2 years ago. But I wanted to revisit the subject because I thought it'd be interesting to talk about not just what we would do with a God detector, but what people who are religious would do if they had a God detector. And how honest would they be if it comes to switching lanes? But before we get into that, would love to check in with you, see how you've been doing. I could tell you personally, I've been having a hard time trying to find a good video game to get my head into. And I've been bouncing back and forth between a lot of games and realizing that I just don't want to commit the time to get good at a very complicated, mechanically driven game. I just want to be able to jump in, have a good time, jump out. And so I've been having some fun with like very short experiences. Some that I would recommend is there's one called Metro City. I believe that's the name for it. It's basically a minimalized city design. It's a simulator, mini motorways is what it's called. It's basically design a town with all the streets, and you have cars that need to get from their homes to a location, and you can bounce back and forth between designing, making roundabouts, trying to figure out the best way to have roads curve into each other, making highways. And it's all very like plug and play. You can like play it for like 5 minutes. You can play it for like a half hour and you're out.
What's it called again?
Mini motorways. And what I like about it is it's like Tetris. It's a game where you will lose eventually, but half the fun is just experimenting and trying to keep up with the system as the demands continue to build on top of it.
I wouldn't have thought that it would have had a win-lose scenario. I just thought that you build and watch it and then you keep growing it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
My personal win is if I can make over 1,000 points. If I can help 1,000 people commute, then I'm happy. So some people will come up with their own challenges. So you're right. There is no, like Tetris, there is no like true lose. Playing is the fun. And I never played that game and felt like I was wasting my time. In fact, I've only felt like I've had a deeper appreciation for how roads are designed today. And when I see like a right turn on something, I'm like, why did you make this curve so sharp? Or if I see traffic lights, I think to myself, that doesn't solve problems. Well-designed
roads it creates problems.
They create traffic. Traffic lights
and
create traffic.
Waste of gasoline and brake pads and all kinds of things. Time.
Yeah, you're just making my where I need to go slower. You should have designed
it. Yeah, we need more roundabouts, that's for sure.
Mm. Larry, how you been?
Oh, I'm fine. I've been playing the Starfield. And if you're looking for a game that you can just jump in and jump out of, it's pretty good. It does have some longer scenarios later on in the game. But what I love about it is at any point in the game, let's say you just jumped in and you've been playing for a minute and a half, and then your significant other wants you to do something, you can hit save and quit. And it does save the game. It has a quick save and auto save and all these other things so that you never lose any play time. And it, as you get stronger, the game gets a little harder, but you're leveling up to meet that. So you can really play it from the beginning and it's not that hard. You can set it to normal, hard, easy, or very easy. And I've always been a fan of being able to set it to easy because I want to play a game for fun, not for frustration.
Exactly. Yeah. Ah, Larry, you hit it, the nail right on the head. There are so many games out now that are like, you have a badge of honor if you complete it because it's so challenging and so hard. And we're both adults here. Like, the greatest things that we'll ever do will not be complete a video game. So when we go to video games, we're here to just have fun and relax. We're not to be like, I beat this game. It's like, no one cares. We're all
Stress to the, through the day. I don't need it on my relaxation time. Yeah,
there's new elections coming up. Like, we're all stressed out. We don't need more stress in our lives. We don't want to like die and like find some weird new Earth tree or like some bonfires. Like, no, I don't have any satisfaction from beating a very difficult boss. I have satisfaction for completing things and having a good time with my weekends, you know? I will say this. At my job, I've been feeling really good recently because we had two new babies and part of my team. So, like, both of the people who work for me successfully had healthy babies. I just want to give a quick shout-out for them. Cool. Even though they're out, I'm happy that they're well. But I've been more or less by myself because we've been strapped for people since they've been out. We've had to dedicate other people on my team for dedicated support on other groups. And so it's basically just me right now. Like, if you talk about who's responsible for testing, I'm wearing the hat of a lab manager, as well as our quality technician, as well as our test engineer, as well as our general laboratory analytical support. I'm wearing a lot of hats right now until we can like properly backfill everything and wait for the people to come back.
There's some stress.
It is. But you know what? I've been accomplishing goals still. And I've been going to work. And I told you before, I had this training program a while back ago when I was in Cleveland training. And I came back to work and I was utilizing two things that I felt were valuable that we had talked about on the show, which was providing recognition and awards effectively. And there's a lot of people who hold back on recognizing when people are doing a good job. But I found that by recognizing when people are doing good work or, you know, making it personal and like having that one-on-one feedback for them has enabled a culture at my job that I've seen change where people are recognizing each other for their works and actions, including pats on my back. Like, I've recognized, like, when I tell like five people that like very concentrated, very direct and like very related good things that they're doing, they feel better. And then that starts to like trickle out to like where people are coming to my door.
Oh,
and
that's wonderful.
I just want to say, you're doing a good job on blah, blah, blah. I was like, that makes me feel good. I feel the morale just really, really pulling up.
Ty, you're doing a good job here in the show.
Thank you, Larry.
I don't know what I'd do without you here.
That's really big impact. But what I would love to have at my job to make things easier would be like a detector that could just be like, hey, there's your problem, fix it. And I'm like, that would make me so happy, both at my job and in my personal life. Wouldn't it be great to just have, particularly as an atheist, just a single God detector or like a modular God detector? Maybe it's even an app, whatever it is that we can test and reliably demonstrate that it does work. And I want something that can at least just tell us there is a God. This is the God. This is it. This is the one that's correct from all the pantheon of different mythologies from humanity. It's this God. We can test it. We can verify existence. We can do so falsifiably and objectively, and you can test it. I can test it. And we're all satisfied. It's this God. And I thought to myself, we had talked about this on the last show. We want that as atheists. We would love to have a God detector, right? It'd make things so much easier.
Sure.
But then I thought to myself, man, if I had this conversation with, I don't know, a Muslim, and it turned out the Christian God was real, I imagine they'd have...
Or vice versa.
They would have a lot of concerns and probably, you know, a lot of anger, and it would probably take them a while to get on board with the idea that it's this version of the God that exists.
Or they'd end up being an atheist. Say, that's not the right God. It's not God.
How do you know that thing?
I don't believe it.
Yeah. How do you know that tester works? Like, because we can test it. I mean, just push this button, like, check it out. Like, look, I mean, like, we can say like, make 14 bunnies appear right now. Push the button and there's 14 bunnies. Like, you know, this works. Yeah. Like, well
how do you know
magic.
It wasn't the device that made it work?
It's a God powered device. There's no batteries in this.
It's a bunny device.
So I always thought to myself, man, there's going to be billions and billions of people who will be upset if there's ever a God detector. It's never a good business to make a God detector.
Yeah. Well, let's take a time just to step back just a little bit.
Sure, sure.
You remember back in the old science fiction movies, they'd have a little remote that would be in the hand, like you're talking about, and it'd be a detector, and the only thing about it would be a red light. A little red light, and if it detects something, a little red light would flash.
Yes.
Okay. So at this point, we've got a God detector. We wander around for a minute and it starts flashing. Okay, we have a God. At this point, we have a generic God. We have a deistic God. We don't know which God it is. We just know it's a God.
Right.
I mean, we got to start at least there. And if that would immediately, if you could get the atheists all to buy in on it, then that would eliminate atheism. But it would also wouldn't be any closer to where we wanted to be, because all of the different religions would claim it was their God.
So I think it would eliminate atheism, but only for a brief period of time. And this is why I wanted to bring up the topic in the show, because I think if it got rid of atheism, that would mean essentially we would want to iterate on that technology. And maybe we can get to the point where we can have a definitive answer for which God or what kind of nature of God actually does exist. And the closer we get to that specific answer, then we reach that point where brand new atheists are forming. Not because of the fact that they lack a belief in God, but because they refuse to believe in that God, or they're spurned by the existence of that God.
They lack a belief in that device. They said that device broke.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it didn't work.
Yeah, but at that point, science can continue to iterate and test on that device. I figure, like, let's just say for sake of argument in a hour-long show that we had a God detector that works. That's the nature of the title of the show. We know it works. We know a specific God. What I'm thinking of is the timeline for atheists like you and I, who are just looking for a good reason to reach a God. Now we have an objective way to determine that. We have something that's somewhat more reliable than it was before, and we will lose our atheism, I imagine, for the benefit of having a more reliable answer for whether or not there is a God. Like, we can say, yeah, we believe in a God because we have an objective, testable God detector. Whether or not I believe the tenets of that God is a completely different question, but whether or not it exists, that's unquestionable. I do, or it's so reliable
this detector you're talking about does identify the God, right? Which God it is.
So, yeah, if you want to do it in two phases, where at first it just says the God does exist, but we don't know the nature of the God. Okay, sure. We'll iterate on top of the technology and then figure out which God. And as we get closer between those two points, as we get closer to defining which God we're talking about, that's when we have this new second generation of new stage atheists who are, well, I was Christian, but now you're telling me it's some jade god or some Egyptian god or some Roman god. Like, I'm out. It's like, I don't believe in that God. It's like, how can you not believe in that God? You were just on board with the idea that God exists, that this machine works. And as we trickle down to one answer, we have all this fallout from people who used to be religious.
Yeah, well, look at it. It would have to be Mars. Mars is the old Roman god of war. Look around the planet. It's got to be Mars.
Sure. So if we found out it was, listen, I can tell you something right now. I would be worried. It would be a really good sci-fi book, honestly. It'd be a terrible sci-fi book, but interesting concept of, we have atheists as we understand them today, people who aren't convinced that a God exists. But then we would have a second generation of atheists who were, well, I was religious, but you're now telling me that a different God exists than the one that I believed in. And if that's the case, I'm upset and I don't want to worship that God. I don't want to believe in that God. I choose to reject this being. And then you would have this new brand of atheism, the second wave of atheism, that's like almost religiously inspired, which is almost the same conflation of how religious people think what atheists are, people who hate God, people who don't want to follow God's word. Like, that's what we might expect when we actually find out a way to figure out that a God does definitively exist. And the scenario in my head that I'm throwing out, why I think this is interesting, is because there's no way to avoid that scenario if we were to actually have a definitive way of determining if a God exists, because there's billions of people who believe in many, many, many different versions of a singular God or pantheons of God, and you're not going to make them all happy if you figured out that one of them was real.
You know, the thing about it is, why you got to think about why we could never build a God detector. Well, I mean, we couldn't build a Geiger counter without some actual uranium that's
right.
giving off radioactivity to test in a lab and build a device to detect it. I mean, we wouldn't know what it was, what its properties were, what to build around to detect until we had a sample of it in the lab to be able to know what its parameters are so right. that we could test for those parameters. And if, since we don't have a God and probably never will have a God in the lab to test what its parameters was, we talked about this earlier, but the subject was souls. Hmm. You know, we're talking about these ghost detectors and ghost hunters out there that use all these devices to detect ghosts, but we've never had a ghost in the lab. We don't know what their parameters are. We don't know right. what kind of stuff they radiate, if they radiate anything at all. So how can we build a detector to detect the stuff we don't know what they do or what they
right.
do,
if use. We were to go, yeah. And if we were to go off of, how do I put it? If we were to go off what we had and just say the Bible, the only sort of evidences that we have are inherently subjective and are not supposed to be used to get yourself closer to God. Because in the Bible specifically, they say you believe with faith, not because of evidence, but because of faith. Faith is the desired way to reach God.
Oh, we're going to talk about faith now?
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's not a good method to power anything to verify a belief.
No.
But it's telling that. Go ahead.
Well, the problem with faith is that you can believe anything in the world using faith. Every
right.
religion on the planet believes their things about souls and afterlife and gods based on faith. Faith is not an end. It's an end to questioning, because once you start using faith to get your answers, you no longer really question anything. You just stop questioning. And that is something the preachers really love. And that's why they tell you to use faith. It stops your questioning.
It does, and it also lowers your standard of evidence, for sure. And you can be trained to do stuff like that. It's like the belief of the substance of what's asked for. It's like the assurance of things that are hoped for, conviction of things that were not seen. If you have all the evidence in the world that says, apples are red, you're supposed to use faith to believe that apples are purple, because that's what God values. Like, he wants you to think like that. That's very, very telling, in my opinion, of a deceitful, deceptive practice, because they don't want you to use the highest faculties you have to figure out things. They want you to use a substandard, criteria of evidence. Yeah. However, like I said, if we're going back to this God detector, I'm not arguing that a God detector can exist. What I can say, though, is we've certainly discovered things without having an example of it firsthand. What we've typically done is either observe it for the first time and just didn't recognize what it was, and maybe it was a limitation of what we were able to explain or perceive or comprehend, but then realize after the fact, it's like, oh no, these giant cracks in the earth are actually moving plates. Like, we just had to update our model. And so now we know tectonic plates and continental shift and stuff like that. We can see galaxies with telescopes. Before, we didn't understand what we were looking at. We thought the bright lights in the sky were pinholes in a blanket that the gods were holding up, and that the lights was coming from heaven. And now we know that they're stars. We know germs. We didn't understand what germs were to begin with. We thought they were weird demons. Now we understand they're organisms. So there's been cases where we've seen things already, didn't understand what we were looking at, and then through better contemplation came to a better understanding of what we're at now.
And better instrumentation in a lot of cases.
And who's to say that we're not in the same situation now? I'm not saying, listen, Larry, I'm not saying that a God detector can't exist. I'm just saying, what if we already see God every day? What if we already see souls every day, but our dumb, smooth atheist brains just didn't allow ourselves?
Well, I believe it was Carl Sagan that said, the time to believe something is when the evidence presents itself.
Okay.
Now, you could also say the time to believe something is when the evidence and understanding present itself. Understand something, why would you believe it? I mean, why would you even give it properties that you don't know that it has?
Right.
And if you misunderstand something, you would.
But even in the best case scenario, let's say the God Detector, all it is a machine that gives you the understanding and points in the direction of the God that you can see already, but just aren't comprehending it because you lack the understanding.
Wait a minute. This thing always points north. Maybe it's not a God.
So you do it. And it's like, there's the God. And you're like, oh, no. So like you finally figure out, OK, so it's this guy, or like it's this person who's just been walking around for all of eternity just on planets. And he's just like, oh, no, I'm Ted. I'm God. Yeah. You found me. You finally found me. Congratulations, guys. You found me. It was like, oh, wow. We found God.
No, you didn't. With the old Jedi and mind trick. No, you didn't.
But there's no scenario where we would find the God and everyone would be happy. There would be a period of time where people, at least who are atheists, would be like, oh, okay, that's God. Well, I'm not worshiping Ted because, like, one, it doesn't seem like he deliberately wanted me to. Like, he's been hiding for a long period of time. And we had to like build a whole sophisticated network of technologies just to find one person. Like, that's crazy. But like, cool for him. He exists. Like, I'm fine. We're not atheists anymore. We know who God is. But, you know, we're not Tedites, if you will. Right.
And there's no book of Ted.
There's no book of Ted. And like, everything's fine. Maybe we found like the flying spaghetti monster, whatever it is. I'm just saying, on top of that, there would be the immediate fallout of the people who've deeply invested in telling the Christian lie or the Muslim myth or you know, any other popular Judaic religion, Catholicism, all the branches of Protestantism, all these huge markets where they only sell false hope and make a lot of money from it because there's no overhead costs, where they have tax incentives to build their churches and their mansions and buy their cars and private jets. And now they have to start paying taxes because now, like, wait a second. You're saying just because we know who God is, I still can't have freedom of religion to not have to pay taxes? Well, I don't see why, because we already know who the real God is. Like, well, I protest that. Time for protests, time for wars, time to put people in cells to establish my power and demonstrate that Ted is, if anything, a demon. A terrible person and not worthy of anyone's worship. Even
he may be the one responsible for wars and cancers and everything else.
Yeah.
And if he's got a godlike powers, then why can't we pin it on him?
Right. Yeah. The subject of a great deal of ire from a lot of people, even well-meaning people who are willing to worship him would have
the riddle of Epicurus' assault.
Yeah. It's a terrible situation. It's a terrible situation for both all of humanity. It's a terrible situation for Ted, who now has to answer all these terrible questions from people. Mm-hmm. Who's just like, I just wanted some privacy. I left you guys to your own devices. I'm sorry. I'm not involved. I'm trying not to be involved. Like, I am taking like the deist route. Like, I have tried my best to like not, you know, participate in a lot of things, but you know, I dropped the ball in some places. I made mistakes. I made some good things. I don't know what to tell you guys. Like, fix it. I gave you brains to like cure diseases. I gave you, you know, the authority to be able to like make pacts and work with each other. Like, do it. Like, just do it. There's no reason why you can't do it.
Yeah. I don't remember who said it, but he says, why would God give us the ability to think and then eschew its use?
Right. You know, right.
Tell us we can't think, like the biblical passage that says lean not on your own understanding is basically telling you don't think, you know, just believe what we tell you in this book.
Right.
And believe me, it's not God telling you that. It's the preachers who wrote the book, because the Bible was written by preachers of the day.
Right. Now here would be the slightly darker version of it, or other interesting. Maybe the God Detector doesn't work by pointing to a guy named Ted and saying like, this is God. Maybe it's more of like, I'm going to let you see your soul. And then when you die, we're going to see the soul leave your body and we're just going to follow it to wherever it goes. And we can see all the souls converge to like a point in space. And we'll be like, ah, that must be where all the souls go. So like, how do you know that even works? What if there was like a little timer, like right up on your forehead of like, this is how much life you have. Here's your soul just being like, I want to be free. I want to get out of this mortal coil. Ah, this is terrible. And then when you die, it's like it unplugs the USB stick. That's you as best as it can. And it's like, see you later. I'm out of here. Bye. And you're like, okay, well, that's interesting. And you can just follow the trajectory. It just goes in a straight line towards space. And with these glasses on or whatever, you can just see all these souls leave the planet and converge to one point in location. You
like do a some black math hole.
You do some math and you're like, oh, okay, that must be where heaven is. It's like 15 light years away. That's just outside of our visible space. That makes sense. And it's right there. Like, we're not going to be able to fly there, but at least now we know where souls go. We can see souls. We know the timer's right. So everybody satisfied? Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? But at least we now know that souls are real. Would that at least convince you, Larry, that souls? What? Why not? Why not?
Well, if we could see them and we measure them and know that everybody's got one, and when the soul leaves the body, it dies. Yeah, that would make a convincing argument.
But
that would be evidence. That would be a time to believe it.
Okay. And then would that make you believe in a god just by virtue of?
Oh, no, not necessarily. I mean, look at the Eastern religions, Shintoism, Taoism. They all believe in worshiping ancestors, and which they believe are still around in some form. So they, Buddhism even believes in reincarnation, but none of them believe in an all-powerful God.
Interesting.
A creator God, as it were.
Okay, okay. So even the existence of souls won't be enough for you to believe.
No, it's an independent idea.
That's interesting. Ah, okay. I love it. All right, so we're about the bottom of the show.
Mid-show break. This is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short break.
Sabbath. I ain't afraid of your
Hello, and welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's take just a moment to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 21st year and have over 1,100 members now. We have weekly in-person meetings, if you want to come down, every Tuesday evening in Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high top tables, or if it's pretty weather, outside on the deck. You can find us on Facebook, meetup.com, or at KnoxvilleAtheists.org, our website, or just Google Knoxville Atheists. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one. Start one. That's right. Wombat, where do you want to pick up?
All right. So we had some listener comments from last week's show. Last week, we had a guest on by the name of Keith Simple, wonderful lad, all the way from Ireland, now a multimedia guru.
That's Keith, presenter. S-E-M-P-L-E.
S-E-M-P-L-E. And I saw some of his videos on YouTube. Wonderful, skilled artist, mm-hmm. and a great presenter. Just has a wonderful crowd presence.
Uh-huh. And a great accent.
And a great accent. That goes without saying. That goes without saying. Right? Young Idealist had talked in the show and says, if Keith ever titles a show in the L.A. area, keep it stupid, Simple. Please announce it on your show incessantly. Joybird29 also commented, great discussion, gentlemen. We're all going to someone else's hell. That really resonated with me and my experiences. Lol. Keith is an extremely talented musician. I was actually at his first show when he formed his namesake band, and I love what he does with his music and now his new podcast. I'm glad to have found your channel through him. So thank you guys so much for providing comments. Cool. On a side table, there's also, so Larry, you may not know this, but actually you do know this. I know sign language. Mm-hmm. You see me do some talking with some people. I'll do like additional sign language tutorials on my channel where I'll watch cartoons that have deaf characters in them, and I'll translate the signs that they use in the show, and I'll talk about what they, how, so oftentimes what happens is a character, because animating is so difficult, the character will just do this. Like barely move at all. And the character will be like, oh, you know sign language. She's saying she wants dinner tonight. I'm like, no, not really. Not really. Let's talk and let's show how to actually show that sign. And like what the concessions have been in the history of like trying to like present, you know, deaf culture.
I have to watch some of that. I hadn't seen it.
There's a TV show called The Dragon Prince that has a prominent deaf character on the show. For the last three seasons out of four seasons, I've done breakdowns of how the characters use sign language in the show. I think it's the best depiction of sign language because it's CGI animated, so they don't have to draw every frame. And when they were first doing it, it was pretty poor because the frame rate was pretty low, so you didn't really get to see the details. But there has been efforts to like make the gloves white so there's better contrast with the person's chest so you can see the signs, to have the person face the camera when they're signing rather than like from the back. You know, like there's just so many other things that they've done to make it better. Uh-huh. However, there's season four out that's now that has signing in it. And there's been some people who have been asking if I would do this, the translation for season four. Blazing Studio 882 says, I know it's been a while, but do you think you could translate the sign language in Dragon Prince season four? The reason I ask is because I checked the community tab, translate season four anyway, the poll for it. And it has translate season four anyway as the majority now. My thing is season four is so bad.
Oh no.
The cartoon has just gotten worse progressively as far as writing is going, because it should have ended in season two. It should have ended like two seasons ago. Now they have no plot and they're just like, the characters are just running around doing nothing. And so it's been a painful experience for me to even try to watch the show that I just have fallen off of it. So that's why there's not a translation of season four.
Oh well.
All right. Guys, thank you so much for all the comments. Feel free to leave more. You know how to do it. Just continue to do so, and we'll go over them in this show. I want to talk a little bit more about how...
The God Detector?
Yeah, how, you know, sci-fi devices may, you know, exist in the future that gives us better answers for these, you know, big questions. And one of them, I thought, this is one that I think is probably, of all of them, the most potential for existing... And that is a viewfinder time machine. Now, it's not a time machine that lets you go back into the past, but it is a viewfinder that somehow runs a simulation of all the photons that have bounced off of Earth and just like correlates their paths back to Earth such that you can actually have a visible image of what existed in the past. Mm-hmm. I know the math, the science sounds sci-fi-y because it is sci-fi-y. It would take an extraordinary amount of energy and calculations to be able to do that. But let's just say for the sake of argument, we had a window or a glass pane, maybe even like a phone or something that can run models on what existed at where we are.
That's interesting. Let's say that you had a TV station on Earth that was broadcasting your image or a certain sporting event or something like that.
Yes.
And then you put a receiver on Alpha Centauri, Proxima Centauri, which is 4 light years away.
Correct.
Well, then the person who watched that would see a picture of time. They would see the sporting event. Correct. Like it was new.
Correct.
Now, the thing about it is they turn around and rebroadcast it back to Earth. It would be another 4 years, but so the people on Earth could see it 8 years ago.
So
it'd be like a window in time.
Yeah, excuse my language. What if it was simply that? Like, what if it was just another planet receiving our, you know, light signals, and we're like, hey, let's broadcast this back and just see what they do with it, or like show we can communicate with each other, and all of a sudden we're getting video feedback of things that happened during old sporting events. During like wars, during Mesopotamian area, you know, just like weird things that we never thought to be able to visualize again. We're getting this visual signal again, and we can verify that they've happened. This is actually really interesting because now it can actually give us the ability to verify claims that were made in holy books.
Well, yeah, like the crucifixion, we'd have to find a planet that was 2,000 light years away, build some kind of little receiver up there and point it to Earth and be able to, a telescope that it recorded, you know, into video, and then focus it on Jerusalem at the time and record the events that happened then.
Yeah. What if we had a benevolent planet with a benevolent society that was saying, oh, we're seeing Earth is going through a lot of stuff because they're confused about what happened at a certain time. We have the technology to just send them the video. Let's just capture all the data, clear it up, and hyperspeed it back to them. And it's like, there you guys go. That'll solve your problem.
Can you imagine? That's awesome.
And we get the video feed. It was like, oh, there's like 16 extra people here at this crucifixion. And like, God's not even or Jesus isn't even in the center. He's like off on the right.
No earthquakes.
No earthquakes. No, this is a problem. And he's black. Oh, no.
And John Wayne wasn't there saying, oh, surely this is Son of God.
It's almost as if like this is like, and he didn't have a six pack either. This is terrible. He didn't look at whatsoever.
And the stone didn't roll away, you know, that type of thing.
Right. So what do you do in a situation like that? So let's do the inverse of it. Let's do the inverse of it as atheists. Mm-hmm. We will say, okay, so now we have the video feed and we can see the three crucifix on a hill. We do see Jesus. We do see earthquakes. We do see a strangely Italian
confirmation of all that stuff.
Yeah. Now what, Larry?
We would have evidence, and we would have reason to believe at that point. However, you could say, all right, let's say that it was a god. Why couldn't it have been just some really powerful aliens doing all this stuff?
So now if we open the book to now aliens exist, how do we know like that Jesus wasn't an alien? Is that what you're saying?
Well, not only that, but I mean, it could have been that aliens fabricated the video and sent it to us, or fabricated this viewer to show us what they want us to think, and one of the things I've always thought would be the easiest task for an atheist to take over the world, not atheists, aliens to take over the world, is to come to Earth disguised as Jesus or whichever religious figure they happen to want to land in, like land in China.
Dolly Parton in Tennessee.
And you would have all these people ready to capitulate and hand over all the reins of government to that person just now, because of their beliefs.
You say that, I actually think the opposite would happen, because I don't think the racket of Christianity is open to ever having a prophet.
No, I'm not talking about just him showing up on the street and saying, I'm Jesus. I'm talking about the skies opening up, the sun, the Jesus rays coming down,
a
giant Jesus like a true floating down. Event. floating down to the Capitol on in Washington D.C.
Right. You know, covered on ABC, NBC, CBS. Like, this is a full bulletproof. Yeah. Like,
but that would not be beyond the capabilities of some really advanced aliens to pull it off.
And then we would just
kept capitulate and handle the reins of government. Now, if they had did that specific version.
Hand over the reins of government, you think government would do so? Like, honestly, I don't think. I think
the Republicans are infiltrated totally deeply with MAGA religious zealots. Personally.
I hear you say that.
And
you...
most of the Democrats are Christian, if you think about it.
I agree. But when we know about politicians isn't such that they're doing so because they care about people from a genuine point of view. That's from a self-serving interest. And if there's a being down here that says, great, now I want you all to have your interest towards me, there's going to be an influx of ego.
If aliens were powerful enough to pull this stuff off, they haven't powerful. They had the power to punish people who don't capitulate.
But one thing you're not recognizing is that there's an inherent profit to misinforming people. And it's been employed by almost every single person that's in our politician group.
I don't get the connection.
And if there's a truthful answer, even if it's a disguise, if a truthful new agenda comes down and it's popular, but it's counterintuitive or counter to someone else's profit, and they also have power, there's a conflict of interest. And my...
Okay. So which can you identify the conflicts here?
Yeah, power. This guy's
no,
asking
no, the specific entities involved in the conflict you're talking about.
If you want to do specifically Republican Party, if you want me to name a specific person, I could.
No, I'm talking about aliens versus humans. Okay, you got the aliens who are coming down presenting themselves as Jesus incarnate.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
On the other side, you have humanity, half of which are ready to capitulate, and the other half are going, I don't know about this.
No, right? I totally hear you. But you know for a fact
the
that
aliens,
in our state,
in our state,
we have two churches with the exact same name on different sides of the same block who don't even agree with each other because they have two completely different versions of Jesus.
You're not following me. If the aliens were powerful enough to pull off this kind of thing, they are powerful enough to punish the people who do not capitulate.
Ah, now there's a different, that's a new element. That's a new element. So you're saying they are, not only are they revealing themselves, but they are actively destroying, pointing at and blowing up the ones
who don't have to do it all, just enough to establish their
just the
dominance.
First Street Baptist Church and the Fourth Street Baptist Church, but the first and second and fifth are okay. You're okay. But I'm showing you I can.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You I can.
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
I'm not saying the easiest.
Yeah, I am saying
it would be the easiest way for them to take over.
A demonstration of power where my self-interest isn't so much my influence on others, but my own self-interest of staying alive. Now I'm still not believing you because you are God. I'm believing you because I'm afraid of you and I don't want you to harm me. Like that would be the political route that gets most people on board with this.
That would be the James Kirks of Earth.
Yeah,
they would be working to undermine this illusion and overthrow the power that's come to take over Earth.
Exactly. Yeah. It'll be like the Terminator. But again, it wouldn't come from a point of altruism. Like, I'm not doing this because I believe in this being. I'm doing it because I'm afraid of this being. That being would have to make a clear demonstration of power to get most people on board. Interesting tangent. But I think we're all on the same page where, yes, there would be some people who would be susceptible to it, but I can definitely see conflict of interest for those who are already in power to deal with it, unless if there was some greater demonstration of power such that they would have to realize, okay, at least for now I'm capitulating, but not willingly. And in the same sense, even as an atheist, when I see a being blow up people who don't believe in him, I believe the God exists, but it doesn't mean that I
believe that this entity has some power over us that they can blow us up. But it doesn't mean that we have to believe their claims of supernatural.
It's
beings.
The exact same thing. Yes. Tyranny does not make a point any more valid than it was beforehand.
Right.
It just is duress. It's just obedience enforced through, you know, duress and punishment. Yeah. It's
Do we
all
have
stick,
any more
no carrot.
Listener comments?
No. That was our listener comments from last week. I'll throw out some more too. So time machine viewfinder, we did discuss that. I would like to talk about a miracle detector. And a miracle detector, now we're still dipping a foot into the supernatural. However, we are now talking about a shared observable phenomena that, whether or not it's a miracle through supernatural intervention or not, is the point of contention. And so why I bring this up is I've talked to a lot of Christians. I've videotaped it.
Me too.
So when I say that, don't think I'm just like, oh, he talks a lot. It's like, no, it's been a concerted effort on my part. And oftentimes when they say, well, miracles exist, that's why I believe in God, I ask them what they mean by miracles, and they will present to me an example of what a miracle is. And oftentimes what they will present is there was a person who was sick and then he wasn't sick. And so I'd ask, do people get sick and not get sick on their own? It's like, yes. And it's like, well, then how do you distinguish that from a miracle? Like, what are you using to determine if a miracle exists? And that's when the conversation stops and we jump to a new topic because they don't have a good answer. But in some conversations, I was actually able to delve into the idea of what would it take for someone to admit that something is a miracle? And so I used an example where I would do a trick where I would show them like a deck of cards and be like, you can hold this deck of cards. You can have the deck of cards. You hold it yourself. Look at all the cards. And they look at all the cards, it's a standard deck. And then I snap my fingers and they look at the deck of cards again. And it's all aces. It's just all aces. And I asked the person, would you consider that a miracle? And they said, yes. And it blew my mind because in my head, I could just say, you know, that could just be a really advanced magic trick on my part.
You mean illusion?
Yeah, I could have just tricked you. Why would you ever put yourself in a position where you would consider that to be a miracle? Because the answer should always be, well, I don't know because I don't have a supernatural detector. I don't know when supernatural intervention has ever occurred. And until then, I could just fool you with very advanced trickery, or I could pay someone to tell you that they saw that and then you would believe them because you already have a standard that's a miracle. We could start a whole religion just on secondhand information. And when you look at the Bible, that's functionally what you have. Just a book of people saying, I saw this, and someone saying, well, that's a miracle. Like, you didn't see it. You didn't test it. You didn't talk to those people yourself. You're just believing a book of claims. And right.
Hearsay claims.
Exactly. And one thing I noted.
Who wrote any of the books in the Bible? I mean, any exactly. Bible scholar will tell you the authors are unknown.
Hmm. And every single time I've done a magic trick, or every single time I've heard someone explain a magic trick to me, it's never they always tell me a different thing than what actually happened. They just say, well, he shuffled a bunch of cards and then he pulled out all the kings on the top. It's like, he didn't shuffle the cards. He put the kings on the top. And then he showed you the kings that he put on the top. Like, he looked like he shuffled it, but it was a false shuffle. Or he looked like he mixed them up, or he looked like he pulled the card off, but he actually had an extra card in his pocket. And then he showed you that card. Like, there's so much stuff that you don't see, that the way how I express myself when I'm in awe or wonder is never truly the mechanics of how things exist. And if a world like that exists and we could demonstrate it exists, then why would I ever be inclined to call something a miracle? But I'll tell you why, because we have a miracle detector. And now that we have a miracle detector, Larry, that we have a way of actually saying, no, you can walk on water if your faith is big enough. No, you can move a mountain if you have enough faith. No, you can make water turn into wine. Yeah, you can test it and you can tell the difference between magic tricks and actual miraculous events with this device. Now that we have that and we can go through testing miracles just by people who have a lot of faith and are capable of doing these stunts, would that make you more inclined to believe in their claims, supernatural claims? Larry, I wonder.
Again, I don't see how you could create a detector without knowing how to detect.
Larry, don't go that. Don't change the question. I gave you the question is, now we have a detector. We now can tell the difference between stunts and actual miraculous events with supernatural intervention. Now that we have that, are you willing to believe the claims of the people who have these miraculous events at their capabilities?
No.
If I say this is a miracle, I can turn water into wine.
Okay, look,
we have a detector to verify that it's a supernatural effect.
Okay,
it's not a stunt. We can do it over and over and over again.
That's all we would know at that point. We have a detector that can actually detect supernatural events.
Yes.
That's all we know. Causing the supernatural events. Don't know if they're verifying any particular god or religion. We don't know anything more than that.
It's just a miracle detector.
Just a miracle. We know now that miracles happen.
Yes.
Now, we don't know if they're Hindu miracles. We don't know if they're Buddhist miracles or Muslim miracles, Christian miracles, we don't know, or some miracles who have a source we've never heard of.
Right.
But to me, a miracle is just something we haven't scientifically examined enough to understand.
I see. And my opinion, before we go to the miracle detector, a miracle is just defined as an inexplicable event, right? At best, but with some thought and understanding, it may even be an event that never happened. It could literally just be a claim of an event, right?
Yeah.
But if we had a system where it's like, hey, you have cancer, let me pray for you to my one specific God, and we'll see if you're healed. And if you're not healed, move on to the next person and pray for you. And they'll pray to their specific God. And then suddenly you're miraculously healed, and the miracle detector says, a miracle just happened. We'd be like, oh my gosh, it's this person's God. We figured it out.
But still, you jump into conclusions.
What happened? What were you saying?
I mean, we're concluding that because that guy has a particular religion and a particular God, and he can perform miracles, that it's the religion's God that's performing them. We don't know why they were being performed. Maybe he's just a magical person. Maybe he's a leprechaun.
Maybe he's dead at the end of the day.
Or a leprechaun or a fairy in a human disguise. We don't know anything.
True.
Past what we
maybe
know.
There's a separate benevolent God that doesn't want the attention and is just like listening to some other God's voicemails.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's the old thing about deism. If you believe in a God, you really don't know which God that is.
Right.
Even if the universe is evidence for the creation by a God, you have no idea, you have no proof, no evidence that it's your particular God.
I'll throw out another one too. Say when I send you an email, it doesn't go to you instantaneously, right? Like it might take a couple of minutes for it to go up into one server, transfer over, and then drop back into your computer. Right?
Yep.
So if we had one person come in and pray to cure your someone's cancer and nothing happens, and then we bring in the next guy and then they pray and then their cancer gets solved, how do we know it wasn't just lag from the first
right. guy? That's true. I never thought about that.
First guy could have been like, guys, I'm telling you this works. It's like, no, but it lit up when the second guy came. It's like, but I already had mine processed in. That's not fair. All right. 9:55. Yeah. We got maybe 8 more minutes. I want to do one called direct intervention detector.
Okay.
Pretty close to miracle detector. The idea is when you see a boxing match and they're like, hey, what got you through this match? God help me beat that other human being. God, the supernatural creator of the universe, chose me to win. And it was me and this supernatural being with unlimited power versus this.
Or whatever sport you choose to insert here.
Right. It was just me and my God versus this guy with two pillows around his fists. And that's a fair fight. That's why I won. And in my mind, I'm like, what a terrible thing to admit. If in a world where you can't even take steroids, that you admit that you had an entire God helping you. But what if we had a way to detect that? So if we had a direct intervention detector that we could pull up to a person who was explaining from a sports team, we won because of God, and you push the button, and you're like, no, he's right. God did help him. I say we take it back, that guy's trophy. I say we penalize the teams. Mm-hmm. Like, as a bylaw in our code of ethics for sports, you cannot have God help.
How could you do otherwise? I mean, he obviously had a supernatural advantage. And sports, you're not even allowed to use steroids, like you were saying. That's an unfair advantage.
Right. It's the David and Goliath story, where most people don't realize that Goliath was the underdog in that situation. Because David had, not only was his weapon just better, clearly like a projectile weapon is going to beat a guy with a sword, but that plus God, you have literally the most strongest tag team partner in a 2-on-1 fight. And what's the other guy have? Height. That's it. A reach advantage versus a guy with a projectile weapon. That's not a fair fight. Goliath was.
Well, that's the point, I think, of the Bible and the story itself. It's not a fair fight because God will kill any of your opponents or at least take them out. But,
yeah.
I mean, that's the point of the story in the Bibles.
I think the point of the story was like, God will protect you even if it seems like you're at a disadvantage, and that feels great. But Goliath was at the disadvantage there. And I say we take back the win for David. I say we take back any sports team that says, what got you through this fight? God. you don't get you. We take back the win. You get penalized. We're going to take back your trophy. We'll take back. We'll fine you. We'll fine you. Our law says that you cannot have God help you. And we verify that God did. We know God exists. There's no more atheists, but you can't use God to help you win sports teams, man. That's not fair. It's an unfair advantage. Mm-mm. So that's my points. I think that's overall it. My final thoughts, at least on this, is we think a detector would solve a lot of our problems, but if anything, it would only highlight the amount of differing opinions and differing approaches that we are using to believe in God, which isn't based on the fundamental system of caring about what's true and caring about understanding or recognizing what's false. It's because there's agendas at play, people who finance off the fact that people are misinformed about the gods, people who who benefit from the diversification of power. And whenever that system's upset, even if we had a detector to objectively guide us, there's going to be conflict of interests in that play. And we only get another rid of that. Oh, go for it.
There's another aspect of this. It was me and God. God and I won. Is that they're bragging on themselves, saying, I am the worthy one. Yeah. I'm the one who has been living a good life, doing what God wants him to do. God shines his light on me because I'm more worthy than that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
And how upsetting would that be if the other team was also Christian too, you know, or the other guys?
Well, of course they are. Most of them
that's
are.
Messed up.
You know, but God, what was they're not going to blame God for the loss.
Right.
Anyway,
I would love to see an atheist win a match and be like, how'd you win? I don't know. I guess God loves me more than that other God, even though I'm an atheist. Yeah. Like, you can't say that. It's like, what? Christians say that all the time. Yeah. Christians say that all the time.
Yeah.
All right. Larry, where can we find your stuff at?
Oh, mine is at digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to look for the blog button. We keep all of our show archives there, atheist songs, just all kinds of great articles on atheism there. Also, we keep a lot of our stuff on YouTube. Your channel is what? Let's Chat.
Yep.
Let's Chat is at Let's Chat or what?
It's just you search Let's Chat on YouTube.
Mine is at Doubter5 to find all my YouTube stuff. You can find my book, Atheism, What's It All About, on Amazon. And if you're having trouble leaving religious beliefs behind, you can get help leaving religion and the problems that it happens, emotional, societal, et cetera, at recoveringfromreligion.org. Give them a look. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. And we'll see you next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock here on WOZORadio.com.
Ooh, I love it.
Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.